head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. It's a beautiful sunny day in the Louisville.am studios right here in St. Matthews. I am joined this time. I'm not in here by myself. I'm so happy. Jim Sheehy and Bart Conley are here with me. And guys, say hello.
Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Great to have you in here. Later in the show, we're going to talk to these guys about the Jill's Wish benefit that is coming up in, what is it, April 29th?
April 29th at Bowman Field.
It's going to be a great, great event. But before we get to that, we got a lot of show to put together for you. And here's what's coming up on the show. My first guest is a guy, I've really had a hard time learning how to pronounce this, but how would you do with this? Jim, Mustafa Gouverneur.
How would I pronounce that?
He's the director of communications over at the for the Festival of Faiths event that's coming up next week right here in Louisville, right down at the Kentucky Center for the Arts. So he's a very fascinating guest, talks a lot about compassion and things that are going on in the city and, you know, given the political climate of our world and everybody doing awful things to each other, like dragging people off planes.
Right. That's horrible.
Is there a bigger story?
Especially right here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. Is there a bigger story? It's amazing what makes the biggest story on the news.
Right.
Anyway, that's it. So before we get into that, I do want to thank my sponsors. Passport Health Plan is a longtime sponsor of the Rusty Satellite Show. I really appreciate them being a part of the show. And the Eye Care Institute, which is your one-stop shop for eye care. Right down there on Story Avenue, whether you need routine vision issues or you need significant corrections such as LASIK, Eye Care Institute is the place to go. You familiar with them?
I am familiar with them.
All right.
I know exactly where they are.
They're good folks down there. And so, as you know, Rusty Satellite Show is, I always say, the most interesting podcast in the city. And we have our guests are the most interesting people in the Ville. So we're going to start off with a conversation with Mustafa. Jim and Bart are going to be with me. And we're going to talk about some things going on in town in just a moment after the interview. So stay tuned.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
All right, today the Rusty Satellite Show has found another nook and cranny of the city I didn't know about. I'm at the Center for Interfaith Relations with Mustafa Gouverneur. And welcome to the show, Mustafa.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure to learn about all the things that are going on. Next week is the Festival of Faiths. And I guess let's just start with filling in our audience a little bit about what that is.
Okay, well, most welcome to our offices here. The Festival of Faiths is a nationally acclaimed multi-faith festival of music, poetry, art, film, and dialogue with internationally renowned spiritual leaders, practitioners, and teachers. And what we're doing is we like to think ourselves as providing a platform for conversations on meaning at a time of multiple crises of meaning. Uh-huh. Philosophical crises, economic, environmental, cultural, and so on. So we've been called, Richard Rohr called us the Sundance of the Sacred. People have referred to us as the TED Talks of the Spiritual.
Okay.
So conversations on meaning. We invite everyone to the table, religious practitioners, academics, scientists, people of no faith at all. But the condition, the criteria for joining us is to go deep, to go deeper on these questions.
Okay.
So many of the faith leaders we bring are going deeply into these great religious civilizations, these great treasuries of wisdom contained in their religious traditions, and finding answers in those principles to articulate responses to the challenges of modernity and postmodernity and living in the contemporary context. That's what we're trying to do, wisdom. the wisdom of our elders and the wisdom of the sages and the saints and the great religious traditions. And what we're tired of, and what I think everyone's tired of, is the superficial, loud discussion which poses as religion, which you hear so much about.
Right.
So we want to go much deeper into the questions.
Okay. And now, the Festival of Faith has been here, I think it's the 22nd year, right? And I guess it attracts an international audience. Like, give me an idea of how many people would will come. It's 4 days, right?
This year it's 4 days. Well, the Baumhart Theater has about 600 seats. So we try to fill all of the seats for all of the sessions.
Okay.
There are four sessions a day. Each day has a beautiful flow, which is connected with our ethos and our approach. So each day begins with a 45-minute spiritual practice. So it's a glimpse into the mechanics, movements, spiritual meaning of different spiritual practices, prayers from different traditions.
Okay.
Whether it's Kabbalah, Jewish mysticism, Sufi dhikr, Christian centering prayer. We had a beautiful presentation on the Jesus prayer, which is practiced in the Eastern Orthodox Church. And also, I think Thomas Merton did the Jesus prayer.
Okay.
Very powerful contemplative prayer. So really offering people tools for going deeper in their spiritual lives, but very much within their own tradition. And this is something we want to be very clear about in terms of our festival, because in the name of interfaith, there's been a lot of, I don't say nonsense, but there are different types of interfaith, all right? And what we're not doing is some kind of new age softening of all the edges, coming together for one world religion or something, or pretending there's no difference between the religions, or kind of everyone's trying to convert each other, these modalities. No, we're saying you don't have to sacrifice one iota of your theology or your doctrine, of your tradition, and yet you can join together with other people of faith and have deep conversations and be enriched by that conversation.
Okay.
And nowadays, it's somehow incumbent upon us. If we lived 400 years ago in Europe, maybe you'd live your whole life in a village and you'd only be with Christians. You'd be with just Catholics maybe your whole life. You'd never encounter another. You'd maybe go no more than 50 miles from your village. Nowadays, in the cubicle next to you, there's a Sikh, or there's a Zoroastrian, or there's a Muslim. Now, there has to be a response to that from your religious tradition, more than just tolerance. We go way beyond tolerance. There's much more in these rich treasuries of wisdom in our traditions than just tolerating each other. Much, much more. And when you start actually reading the great spiritual texts of the great sages and thinkers of Taoism and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and Judaism and Christianity, you start to see that. These luminous oceans of wisdom that surely should have a part to play in the discussions and the prevailing culture. So at the moment, you go to Yahoo Directory, which few people probably still do, and there's sports, entertainment, celebrities, but there isn't meaning or God or what is this or who am I. So it's a little bit like our little festival, which is now becoming a national big festival because it's growing in prominence, is providing that conversation on meaning. TED Talks are very interesting. Often they talk about technology. They have this. But the bit about meaning, philosophical, intellectual, spiritual, we feel needs to have more of a place in the conversation.
Okay. Well, looking over the itinerary and an impressive lineup of people that are coming to this event, even some local people that I know, give me some highlights of some of the individuals who are leading as speakers or leading the seminars.
Well, we have Karen Armstrong, who's an incredible religion author who's written about religion and politics and world affairs, and she has a very deep knowledge of the subject. So she's going to be appearing on two panels, one, getting real about compassionate cities, and the other, really religion and politics, that is, religion and world affairs.
Okay.
These are very edgy current issues with what's going on in the world today. And very much what we're trying to say in this festival is we're trying to offer ourselves as honest brokers and stakeholders in trying to go deeper in what an authentic compassion really means. People are understandably, naturally cynical and jaded about calling ourselves a compassionate city. There are terrible stats that we have to live with here, and the homicide rate and the heroin epidemic and many, many things, many, many problems and challenges. So it's not a question of we're a compassionate city. It's that is an aspiration. It's an aspiration. And what would it really look like? So our first session on Wednesday is getting real about compassionate cities.
Well, let me ask you about compassionate cities. This is a big focus of Mayor Fisher's platform and what he talks about all the time. He's a participant in this thing. I'm sure he's a great supporter of this event. Is Louisville, in your view, doing better than other cities? Are we working harder at it?
Certainly the story, the narrative, just the idea that we are putting that as an aspiration, this human qualitative principle, is extraordinary and is not happening in so many places. And why do I say that? Well, what do we mean by compassion? Because that's a slightly, that could be interpreted as a slightly vague term. Well, in real terms, what we're saying is the Dalai Lama says everyone has an interest, every human being, whether they're religious or not, has an interest in an internal balance, center, and a peace, and a kind of happiness and a meaning that comes from a kind of healthy, harmonious relationship in their life with institutions, with each other, community. Are our institutions supporting that, or are they challenging that? So an example in the secular space, right?
Okay.
So that's where he talks about secular values. So an example would be the Compassionate Schools Project in Louisville. If you have children sit in silence for 15 minutes, simply in silence, it's not a question of praying or immediately you see metrics. Tardiness goes down, fighting goes down, grades go
really?
Up. Because for a moment there's that peace from all of the noise and the distraction. And this is what we're talking about in general. Pico Iyer was a speaker last year. He wrote, he did a TED talk that went viral called The Art of Stillness. And he said, it seems that we're in this time where there's a kind of simultaneous crash wave of information and distraction and a tragedy feed. And all of us, there's a sense, there's a zeitgeist, all of us are finding that kind of peace, that stillness inside. And how do we do that? How do we unconnect and so on? So I feel that that's a... These are qualitative vertical dimensions which have to be in the secular space. And that's what really we're talking about when we talk about a more compassionate city. What is a more compassionate healthcare? You know, what is a more compassionate education? Mm-hmm. And so on.
So this is what, people that attend this will learn. Is this open to anybody that wants to come?
It is open to anyone that wants to come. And it's ticketed, but there are discounts for clergy and students. The spiritual practice sessions are free, as well as one of the evening events at the Cathedral of the Assumption.
Okay.
We're excited about that. We just got news that Wednesday, April 19th, at Compassion Shining Cathedral of the Assumption, which is free and open to everyone in Louisville and around the region. It's an event, a celebration of music and song, curated by Ambassador Shabazz, who's the eldest daughter of Malcolm X and Betty Shabazz. And she's assembled just an incredible lineup of local talent and national talent. Lincoln Bridge will be singing there. E. Marge, a country singer.
I saw that Teddy Abrams is on the bill.
Teddy Abrams is on the bill for Friday night, which is called Compassion Jam. That's Friday night at the Baumhart, 6 o'clock. That's really exciting. It's a night of improv. So Teddy Abrams, Jacori 1200 Arthur, and Rachel Grimes, we asked them to curate an improvisational musical evening. So lots of different musicians, really eclectic forms, musicians coming together. So that's very exciting. And then in the beginning of the second hour, you have Azhar Usman, who CNN called America's Funniest Muslim. And he is indeed very, very funny. Not just because he's a Muslim and he's kind of talking about airports and 9/11. He's actually a very funny and very mystical person. He opened for Dave Chappelle 50 times. He's a major. So he'll be doing a half-hour set. And then Jacori Arthur will be doing the last half hour he's set up. So that's going to be extraordinary. And we've had, and this is what, you know, people just don't know, but I want to communicate. We've had these incredible musical events over the years. I mean, last year we had Ricky Skaggs with Salman Ahmed and Junoon. And Salman Ahmed and Junoon are an incredible Qawwali fusion band from Pakistan who have really hundreds of millions of followers.
Well, Mustafa, it sounds like an incredible event. I'm just making mental notes of the things I want to go see. So thank you. Got to wrap up the interview here, but thank you for spending a little time with me and letting us know about the Festival of Faith.
Thank you for your interest, and I hope to see you at the festival. And please do come and check it out. We've noticed that when anyone comes and they taste what it actually is, they always return. So our repeat visitors are very high. People always come back.
I'm Steve Coombs, and each week, Rick Redding and I record a new episode of Eat, Drink, Talk. We'll fill you up and fill you in on what's happening in Louisville's thriving drinking and dining scene. We bring you food news, interviews, and our take on what's happening around town. Find us on iTunes and download Eat, Drink, Talk.
All right. Well, I hope that some of you can make it out to that Festival of Faiths event. I think that music thing on Friday night is something that I'm going to try to attend myself. It sounds like a good time. Mustafa really encouraged me to come out and see that. So we could all use a little more compassion in our lives.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah. The Jill's Wish thing certainly ties in, and that's a part of what we're about here on this week's show. Usually in this segment of the show, though, I talk about some of the events that are going on in Louisville. To me, the biggest story in terms of what's going on in Louisville is the announcement of the site for the soccer stadium. I mean, I think it's in Butchertown. Any thoughts, guys, on what that's about for us?
Well, I can tell you for myself, I took my boys down, who are big soccer enthusiasts, to a few of the games last year, and I was amazed at how large
and
boisterous the crowd. I felt like I was in a different city, so I'm glad to see that they are going to get their own stadium to not have to shit around both soccer.
Yeah, and how perfect, Butchertown, in an area that I think they're going to knock down some buildings that have sort of outlived their usefulness. And, you know, Butchertown's got a great bunch of new restaurants, and it's just a really up-and-coming part of town with new Louisville.
Well, I think it's, you know, just the fact that there's not a professional baseball team or a major league baseball team and not an NFL team, how cool is that to have this as an addition to Louisville? Something exciting to take your kids.
Exactly right. A couple of weeks ago, I had Jonathan Lintner, who is the PR guy for the soccer team, on the show, and, you know, he was hinting. They picked out the spot a long time ago, but they only made it public. So it's been in the works a while. They didn't. I thought it might go to like somewhere west.
I knew they were talking west, like Ninth Town.
Yeah.
But, no, this connects. I think where the baseball stadium goes all the way down Neck Road, kind of a sports, nice restaurants.
Yeah, it will be very nice. But it's amazing. It's going to take so long to build. 2020, I think, is the year that the stadium. Last time I was there, I saw the mayor in the hallway getting ready. I think we were going to the bathroom, but anyway, he's going to be on this show. He's going to be on my special 200th episode of the Rusty Satellite Show in a few weeks. So you guys give me some hints on on what to ask the mayor. What do you want the mayor to do, Bart?
Come to our derby party.
Why not?
It's probably on his schedule. He likes to party, of course. I understand. I want to mention something. The other big news, and I've heard so much about it, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it here, but you guys, everybody's talking about the airplane at United Airlines. You didn't know the document?
I didn't know.
Have your Facebook pages like been blowing up with people with their own opinion? Everybody seems to have their own two cents.
Everybody's got their own opinion about it. And, yeah, it's just I just so unfortunate that would happen the way it did. And, you know, it's just bad. Like you said, a lot of the stuff you see is just bad news, and it's like, how do we get over
it? Yeah. PR-wise, it's a classic case for future PR classes down at U of L, I guess, is what if you're United Airlines and how do you react to this? If you're the CEO and you didn't, you know, you went to work that day and you didn't know what your day was going to be like.
Right.
Sort of like, I was joking with my girlfriend yesterday, you know, the Sean Spicer stuff that came up where he made the inappropriate comment about the Holocaust. I would imagine him going home that day. Honey, I'm home. How was your day?
Right.
Well, I called a whole class of people. Other than that, that was okay.
I thought I saw where the United O defend the staff. They did took appropriate actions, but I think they just went a little too far. Right. Then I saw Lip.
Yeah. They apparently they really knocked the guy out. He's from E-Town, right down the road, and it's just an odd, strange story. A good lesson in PR about how corporations get black eyes. They don't react to things in the right way. you know a lot about PR. You,
did you, did you see Southwest had a Facebook post that we just beat our competition, not our clients.
And they had the scene from Airplane where everybody goes by and beats up that poor woman. It's really a cool thing. Yeah. All right. Well, I do another podcast every week, one called Eat, Drink, Talk. And you guys are familiar with my guest who was on that show this week, barbecue man extraordinaire Steve Bowles. And you congratulated me for holding him down to 12 minutes, right?
Steve is a talker, but I love to hear his stories because he seems to know everybody in Louisville and has a story about just about every time politician.
Yeah, I mean... We joked when we got here that, you know, I said, did you have a five-hour segment with Steve? But what a generous, you know, he's offered his services for our derby party, and he's a good guy, and he reaches out to people to help them. And, you know, like I said, you can't ask him a question. You have a little bit of time on your hands.
That's right. I went out to Captain's Quarters and met with him and sat down with him, and you know, we finally got – like 12 minutes in on audio, but I was there an hour. It was like,
pre and post show.
One last thing let's talk about what a great time of year this is in Louisville. This is the best time to be here. You all have a big event we're going to talk about in the next segment, but right. What about your let's hear some good derbies.
You got your
itinerary set for the week or anything?
Well, this will be the first year I'm actually going to go back to the derby. I have taken a 5-year hiatus from trying to mess with the crowd, but I've got some tickets that were given to me and wife out there. I hope it's a day like today. Clouds, that would be nice.
That would be that would be great.
Yeah, my first ever derby was the year Smarty Jones won, and it was a beautiful day all day long, and I was in the infield for the one and only time. Then the skies opened, and it was, you know, torrential downpour. We're going through the tunnels. It was up to my knees with water, and it was a day to remember, to say the least. And I don't believe that I bet Smarty Jones either. So.
Oops. So you going back this year? What are you doing Derby Day?
I'm either Oaks or Derby. I haven't decided yet. We've been having a Derby party every year. You know, usually at my brother's house. But it's up in the air still.
There's always a party to go to. I just want to ask you a little bit about your background, because I was fascinated about a couple of things. That you were a blackjack dealer, which is cool. We'll tell that story in the next segment. But let's talk about Purdue football, because you played when?
I played in the early 90s. I came as a freshman with Mike Alstott, who played Hall of Famer in the NFL, fullback. And it was just, you know, my dad had played there and he went to the Rose Bowl. It was just, it was surreal. My first, the third game of my freshman year, I got to start against Notre Dame. And just walking into that stadium, an empty stadium, you do a walkthrough before the game. Seeing the NBC signs up there. And, we get on the field and I've obviously watched film on them. But, you know, it's Jerome Bettis was the fullback. And I'm a 197-pound, 6'4 middle linebacker in the Big Ten, which is skinny, but I was a hitter. So, you know, they ended up beating us pretty bad, and I ended up calling home to my brother, and my girlfriend at the time answered the phone. I couldn't understand what she was saying. Like I said, we lost 48-0. She was screaming with excitement, but
I got
Chevrolet Player of the Game that game. I had 17 tackles, and they don't tell you got that after the game. So we ended up driving home to Cincinnati after that, and, you know, there was a cars parked in the neighbor's yard, and they were, you know, you would have thought we won the Rose Bowl, but we got our butts kicked.
Only lost by 48.
It was
could have been a lot worse. But you've got to be pretty excited about how Jeff Brohm going on.
Oh, how cool. You know, we've been struggling here the last few years, and, you know, how exciting that is to have a local connection from here that'll, you know, it'd be nice to see some of the following that we get now down here in Louisville about, you know, the Brohms coaching up there. And I think it's a really good opportunity for a turning point for Purdue to get back on track.
Well, I certainly think Jeff can turn it around. He's actually been on this show. He's a coach at my alma mater, Western Kentucky, for many years. Brought a lot of success there, and I'm happy for him. I'm kind of not happy for Western, but I think Western got a good guy down there. They hired an offense coordinator from Notre Dame, so maybe keep that offensive-minded thing. You're going to love seeing Brohms flea flick and all these wild plays that he
makes. I can't wait. I mean, that's what, you know, that'll bring us back to the Drew Brees.
Yeah, it's really something. All right, well, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk with these two guys about Jill's Wish, which is coming up April 29th at Bowman Field. It's going to be a big, big event and a good thing to put on your derby calendar. So I'll be right back with that in just...
Hey, I'm Dan Vonderhyde.
I'm Stephanie White.
We host a weekly podcast called 40-ish. It's a show about life at middle age.
I'm not 40 yet.
Well, you're getting there eventually.
I guess.
So each week we talk about something that applies to the life of a middle-aged person. We drop a little bit of wisdom in every episode, and we go out and talk to people about their experiences.
And we laugh.
And we laugh a lot. Comes out every Tuesday. Make sure you download.
Tune in.
All right, and I'm back in the studio with Jim Sheehy and Bart Conley, and we are going to talk this segment about Jill's Wish. And guys, go ahead and take over. It's your radio show. Tell me about how this event is being planned and what you expect from it.
Well, I mean, let me tell you a little bit of the background of Jill's Wish. You know, Jill got diagnosed with breast cancer 6 months into our marriage, and she had to take time off work. She had to quit work entirely. I had to take time off work, so we struggled financially. Mm-hmm. And we needed help, and, you know, some friends and families did a couple fundraisers to help us get through those hard times. And they actually ended up, you know, a couple of years in, Jill did a documentary called The Light That Shines that got us a lot of notoriety, like on the Today Show, Good Morning America, People Magazine. We were streaming on Yahoo.
And the story was really chronicled in the Courier Journal.
Yeah, they, you know, Laura Unger chronicled her story for the last, you know, 5 years. And we thought, what can we do with this notoriety? You know, we were getting calls from agents and all kind of craziness. So, you know, what are we going to do with this? So we thought, why don't we start a foundation that helps families that are struggling the way we struggled? You know, so we pay their car payments, their mortgage, their electricity, all their utilities. And so that's basically how we started the Jill's Wish Foundation.
And that was while Jill was still with us, which was when? A couple of years ago? Or
she passed away last February.
But she was part of the start of the foundation.
Yes, absolutely. She's the reason that we were able to start anything. She used to do a speaking events, and she'd get a fee for that, and it would be part of the money that we would help the families with.
We incorporated in 2013, so okay. She was with us for 3 years, and then we're in our fourth year
last
right
February,
now.
So, yeah. And then when she passed away, we thought, you know, I was lost, you know, beyond comprehension, and I thought, why don't we have a derby party? Because we had talked about it, you know, about doing a derby party. We're here in Louisville, and, you know, it's the best time of the year. It's the best time of the year in the whole country. So we thought, why don't we put on a derby party? And we did it in like 2 months, and it ended up being our biggest fundraiser of the year, which was pretty cool. And it shows just the generosity of the community here in Louisville, which, you know, I it still overwhelms me.
And so this year, how is it? Let's talk about this event. How is it going to be different this year?
Well,
other than Stephen Bowles Barbecue, which is always there.
For one, it's going to be hopefully about twice as big. I mean, as Bart just said, we did it in about 2 months of planning last year. This year, we've had a whole year to plan and just have a lot of exciting things. We have, I don't know how many people are familiar with Lincoln Bridge, but they made it to the finals of America's Got Talent, so they will be coming to the party.
Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure they're part of the Festival of Faiths too. So,
are they? Well, that's a good time. I mean,
they're super good guys.
They're a great story in itself. Just the way they were formed together to do kind of a hoax for Tom Mabe, and it turned out to get picked up over YouTube. And America's Got Talent called Tom, said, "No, we want them to audition for America's Got Talent."
But I didn't know that part.
In addition to that, we just have now we have a cool thing happening where we have some Triple Crown jockeys that Gene Crozier, who won the Triple Crown with Seattle Slough.
I've met him before, yes.
He contacted us just via online, or his wife did, found us, and we had a meeting with them, and they want to come to the event and bring some of their friends and other Triple Crown jockeys. So we've got a lot of cool things. We got a signature drink that's the chocolate mint jillip. That'll be our signature drink with Ballantine.
From our friends at Ballantine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they've kind of stepped up. So we've got a lot of great local sponsors. We got Cozair Charities, who's been a big supporter of us for a long time, and we also have Anthem Blue Cross Blue Shield. Those are our two co-sponsors for this year's event. Brown Foreman stepping up in a big way. So, who else? Norton Hospital has supported us. And
okay, so if I want to go, cost to get in?
Right now, the cost is $65. The price will go up at the gate to $75. So it's behoove you to get online and get your tickets beforehand. Plus, we do think a maximum of 600 to 700 people, and we think we'll sell out this year just based off all the stuff we have going on.
Well, yeah, so if you want to get the tickets, just go to our website, which is www.jillswish.org.
Okay.
So you can get your tickets.
Well, it's a Saturday before Derby, and you know, anybody that has been around here knows that to get into anything for $65 or $75 is a lot. Are you familiar with the prices they're getting for these big galas these days?
Oh yeah, I've seen the thousands and 500 to take it.
Like $1,250. We talked about this. They're trying to. I saw a price on one of those events, and I said, "Oh my gosh, I can't believe it."
Well, we got
people,
you know,
pay
the,
that
the drinks and food are included too. You know, it's
right. Wow.
That's pretty cool. I mean, you don't go many places paying that. And like I said, plus the entertainment's going to be unbelievable. We're going to have some surprises, too. So, yeah, definitely this is a party you're going to want to be at.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure it's something that'll take place for years to come. So, Bart, I just want to ask you a little bit about, you know, the inspiration for this. I know Jill was a special person, and a lot of things about her life have been public and chronicled, but just I guess want to ask you about your memories of her and how this is helping you get past her death.
My memories are just, to be honest, I still could not believe that I got to marry the woman in the world that I would ever have wanted to marry. You know, I couldn't even, still to this day, I can't believe that she was interested in me the way I was with her. But, you know, I struggle. It's hard to imagine a life without her. Everybody considered her best friend, friend, you know, and that's the way she made everybody feel. That's the way she made me feel. And talk about somebody who is giving and cares about other people. We'd be in the hospital and she'd be asking all the nurses about their stories, and she would remember what was going on in their lives. And like I said, it's hard to put Jill into words, just because she's just right. Such a special person. And I just was, as a matter of fact, yesterday was out walking with my mom and just saying, it just doesn't go away, you know, just those feelings for her. And I try to, like, walk on some of the places where, you know, we would hang out and just go around. I do a lot of walking and thinking, and that's when I do a lot of my good Jill's Wish thinking, and thinking about her is, you know, it helps me get through it. I don't want to not think about her, you know. I mean, I don't want to be overwhelmed with sadness, but a lot of it is happiness, and then what we're doing with Jill's Wish is exciting.
Yeah, well, I would imagine, you know, and I know she survived 5-6 years after diagnosis, so it must have been a strong, courageous person to.
Yeah,
she was
tough. I still joke, you know. You know, I get sick for 2 days with the flu or something, and I feel like I'm such a baby compared to what she went through. And she was, you know, she went through everything. If there was a side effect, she got it, and.
And it was really what I remember about reading the stories in the newspaper. I mean, the bravery in terms of being public with the disease. I guess that takes a special kind of person to be able to, you know, share that story, right?
Well, that she wanted to be able to instill the confidence into other women going through the same thing. Like, you can be beautiful with your scars. And not only did it, you know, they did the documentary about her called The Light That Shines. And not only did cancer patients reach out to her, were inspired. You had this one woman was overweight her whole life, and she was picked on in high school. And after she saw the documentary, she went into the bathroom, took her clothes off, and said, "I'm beautiful." We've had, you know... Mm-hmm. We had this one lady who's had lost her wife or her husband and just couldn't fathom going on, but she saw the documentary and was inspired. If Jill can do this, you know, I'm just, like I said, I get goosebumps still just thinking about it. I've watched the documentary probably 200 times since she's passed away in last year, just because I just to hear her voice, you know, and know her goodness is. Like I said, it's hard to explain.
Well, it's very special. She certainly left a lasting mark on all of us. Jill's Wish, the organization, you're having this big event. Are there any other things that the group does throughout the year?
Yeah, we have basically four mainstay events. This has become our fourth, but we usually do a 5K run walk that we did down at the Ali Center this year. One of the things that I always tell people is that Jill could meet somebody for the first time, and like Bart said, instantaneously you felt like you knew her all your life. So that happened with Muhammad Ali. It happened with Hoda from the Today Show. It happened with Stuart Scott. It just seemed like we should probably rename the foundation It Just Takes One, because it just took one time. But the 5K is one. We do a golf outing in the fall, and then we do have a Christmas gala that we do every year in Cincinnati. So those have been the four main ones that we've stuck with. We do have another golf outing that Bart's instilling in Michigan, where Jill was from. So that's going to be a first-time event up in Michigan in June, and then we might have some other events in Cincinnati. Right. And since Jill was from Michigan but lived in Las Vegas a long time, we have a lot of following in Las Vegas, so we have a big consortium in Cincinnati, Michigan, Las Vegas, and Louisville. But we help women all over the country.
We've actually, you know, it's crazy that people from all over the world have reached out to us. They actually somebody sent this to us. I don't know who it was or how we got it, but it was on a Japanese television station. They were talking about the light that shines in Japanese. I think you heard in the middle of everything Jill Conley, you know, and it was just like, are you kidding me? How cool is this?
Well, that is very cool. Let's wrap it up here. Tell me the details one more time about the Jill's Wish benefit at Bowman Field.
So it's on Saturday, April 29th. The doors open at 6:30. We'll be rocking until about midnight. You can go online at jillswish.org and just click on the button that talks about the Derby party, and you can order your tickets
Right there. Yep. Very good. Well, I'm going to make it a point to get out there for that one. It sounds like a great event. Great work you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
And that was a delight. The Rusty Satellite Show is concluding another episode, number 197. I sure enjoyed having somebody in the studio with me. It was great. Bart Conley, Jim Sheehy with Jill's Wish. Certainly encourage you to start. You know, you got to start now putting derby parties on your schedule. And so the Saturday before the race, that's a great night to be out having some fun at Bowman Field. Looking forward to that, Lincoln Bridge, all the great music there. Good stuff. And my friends from Ballot will also be there. I do want to mention, thanks again to my sponsors, Passport Health Plans, my friends at the Eye Care Institute, and also my great dentist, Moore Smiles, Dr. Sean Moore, out there at Taylorsville Road and Stony Brook. So that's going to do it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I have some things lined up. I'm actually planning ahead a little bit. I'm going to have next week on this show, you're going to hear from Mayor for Life, Jerry Abramson, I'm going to interview him over at Bellarmine this week. And I've got a lot of other things in store. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I've got the Mayor Fisher lined up for the 200th show that's coming up Derby Week. So time to start lining up some Derby guests. I'll be right on top of the Derby Festival and all the things that are going on. The Thunder is the 22nd. That's a week from Saturday. So Derby season is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. So hope you get to get things on your schedule, like the Jill's Wish party. And this weekend, it's the Festival of Faith. So I want to thank again my Mustafa Gouverneur, who was very enlightening in terms of what's going on with the Festival of Faith. It's a great event, and it's great to have it right here in my hometown of Louisville, KY. That's going to do it for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Rick E. Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.